Well, are you ready for a good word today? I've discovered that if you stay in the book, every word is a good word. Last Sunday morning, we talked about where is your faith? And we told about the story of the father with a legitimate concern. His son had been demon-possessed and no help was offered to him. Even the disciples couldn't help this boy who was possessed by a demon so badly that the demon would cause him to convulse and to go into seizures. The demon in the boy sometimes would throw the boy into fire to burn him, and sometimes into water to drown him. And this father got to Jesus. Now, we too know who to go to when we're in trouble. This father got to Jesus and made an indictment against his disciples. Said, Lord, I asked your disciples to cast this devil out of my son, but they could not. And Jesus looked at his own crowd, his own people, people like us, his disciples, and called them a perverse generation. We talked last week about the importance of faith, not just important to us, but our faith is very important to God. This father that came to Jesus last week in the story said something that rings true to all of us if we'll be honest with ourselves. He said, Lord, I believe. And then he caught himself mid-sentence and said, help my unbelief. Sounds like a contradiction. How can you do both? I think I've done both sometimes. I mean, that's unstable and that's indecisive and that's a divided mind. But let's be honest. I can relate to both sides of that statement. Lord, I believe and I know I do. But Lord, help my unbelief and I know I need that sometimes too. And the reason our faith is so important to God is he wants so much to be trusted. Last week I mentioned in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And I want to continue today where we left off. There is a way to increase our faith. There is a way to more efficiently and more effectively use the faith we have. Today I'm talking about trusting God regardless. And that's where I am. I did not say I'm perfect. I did not say I'm better than you. I did not say I'm holier than thou. None of that would be true. But if I know my heart, I can say this, and it is the truth. I'm going to trust God regardless. Whatever the wind blows, whatever the storms do, whatever anybody else does, if I know my heart, I know him well enough to know I can trust him no matter what. So that's my confession. I'm trusting God regardless with my life. I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, or the length of a football field, basically, 100 yards, visible at a distance. And they were dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Come and eat breakfast. A very familiar passage of Scripture, and we're talking about trusting God regardless. I like what it says in verse 1. It said, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again." Now, I've had the Lord show himself to me and reveal himself to me. I've had the Lord come through and deliver me and rescue me in many times of trouble. Anybody else out there ever had that happen to you? But I'm so glad to know that even though he's shown up before and shown off before in my life and in yours, he still shows up again. And he showed himself again to the disciples. Now, they were in a discouraged season. They had followed him for 3.5 years. This was after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and they knew the seasons had changed. They didn't know what to expect in this new season. Now, can you imagine being one of them, being so close in proximity to the Lord? You saw every miracle, you heard every word, you watched him open blind eyes, raise the dead back to life. I mean, you saw him take a bag sack lunch for one boy and multiply it to bless a multitude. You were there and you saw it all. What 3.5 years of your life could be any better than that, being a close follower of Jesus? And they had been with him. They had seen it all, and they were aware he was raised from the dead, but they didn't know what the next season would be. And so they were saying, "You know, I just don't know. It's been a great ride. Wouldn't take anything for it. I mean, we've been eyewitnesses to the Son of God made manifest in the earth. We wouldn't take anything for what we've seen and what we've been a part of." But Peter said, I'm going back to what I'm comfortable with. I'm going back fishing. That was his trade. That was his day job. And that's what happens when a season changes and we're not sure what our bearings are for this new season that's beginning in our life. It's easy to draw back and stick with what's comfortable, what has worked for us in a previous season, what's familiar to us. Yeah, fishing, when Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing," and all the others said, "We're going too," all of them were saying, "We're going back to our day jobs now. We don't know what to expect in this new season." Now, they were out at sea just a ways, 100 yards offshore. You could see the shoreline easy from the boat in the water where they were. And they were unaware. Sometimes we're that way. Sometimes when we're changing seasons in our life and we know we'll never repeat what we've just come out of, something new and unfamiliar is ahead. We can't figure it out yet. But we can't exactly identify the Lord always. Now, he's there. We see here in this story, they were unaware. Jesus was close enough to see them fishing and catching nothing. He was close enough to hear them. He was close enough to speak to them. In fact, he did. He cried out from the shore, "Hey, fellas, have you caught any fish all night? Do you have any food? Do you have anything to show for your toil and your labor? The fact that you're worn out right now, you've been working all night and you don't have any, do you have anything to show for all the energy that you've been using?" And the disciples, within shouting distance to Jesus, still not knowing it was him. Sometimes we'll hear a voice and it's a good one, but we haven't identified it for who it is. Sometimes it's the Lord speaking to us directly, either directly from his mouth to our ears or indirectly through somebody else. And it's his word, the value of his word. We're placing a higher premium today on the value of hearing a word from God and then trusting the word from God you hear, regardless of what circumstances would say. Do you have any food? Have you caught any fish all night out there working like you've been working? I imagine the disciples, you know, they were professional fishermen. I mean, they should have caught something. They were pros at it. That was their life's work. So they probably, you know, like, don't even know it's Jesus. I mean, they don't know it's Jesus. They hear his voice. I don't know who it is. And then, have you caught anything? Well, sir, you can see I got a nice boat. And I got some great people in the boat. But do you have anything to show for your hard work? Is it paying off for you? The thing you're doing right now, you've been doing it all night. It's been a long night. Do you have any food? And they said, no. No. Some of you may be there right now. Some of you may be spinning your wheels. You have no traction. You don't have direction. And it doesn't really matter because you can't get very far anyway. No traction. You're spinning wheels, standing still. And it's been a long night for you. And if anybody, including Jesus, were to ask you, has it paid off for you, what you've been doing lately? As hard as you've been working, do you see any reward or any benefit? You would have to say, no, I really don't. Now, these boys, just because of their experience as professional fishermen, should have caught at least a guppy or a minnow. I mean, at least caught something big enough for bait for something bigger later. I mean, no. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how long and how dark that night was for these men? All night long, the sun was about to rise. They had to call it a day. They were exhausted and had nothing to show. Some people go through a long, deep, dark night of the soul where they can't even realize Jesus is as close to them as he is. They're unaware that he's there, close enough to see what you're doing, to see the results you're getting, close enough to talk to you and listen to you, but yet it's such a long, dark night of the soul that none of that even registers. All right, now, everything changes, and here's why we can learn today to trust God regardless. Everything changes instantly. When the man on the shore, and they didn't know yet it was Jesus, but they did recognize an instruction when they heard it. And when they heard the man on the shore say, cast your net on the right side of the boat. I like what the word says. Now listen, we're going to learn right here. I'm going to change some things about my life based on this right here. I'm growing. In fact, I told Brenda yesterday, I need a larger size pants. But I'm growing. Here's what I love about this story. The Lord on the shore said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And here's exactly verbatim what it said. It said, so they cast, and now there was a multitude of fish in the net. Now, they pivoted on that point. That's exactly verbatim what the word says. So they cast, and now. It's in verse 6 if you want to read it again. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now. That's the important word. They were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. What I want you to realize here is for them to immediately obey the word they heard brought immediate results for them. Now, it's not always that way. The walk of faith does not always pay that quickly. But there it is, every word together. So they followed the instruction the Lord gave them. They cast, and now, that's what I like about faith. Now faith is. Faith is not futuristic. Faith is now. Now, when what you're believing for is realized and manifest in the future, you won't need faith because it's literally there. You don't need to believe for it, pray for it, have faith for it. Faith is what you need now, even before the miracle comes or your need is met. It's the pivot. They were doing one thing. They had been doing it for so long. It had been a long night. This is what they've been doing all night long. And then the sobering question, has it paid off for you, what you've been doing? Has it really brought any benefit? No. Well, then, cast your net on the other side. And the Bible said, so they cast. And now, how quick was that? And now, it was full of fish. You couldn't even pick it up. One man couldn't. Peter had to drag it, finally. 153 big fish. And it must have been quite a load because thinking was the net should have broken with that much fish, but the net didn't even break. The writer of the Gospel of John brings that point out. The net didn't break, even though it was so full of heavy fish, large fish, 153. But it was a pivot required. Now, some of you are going to pivot today because some of you are, just realizing right now, I've been in a long night. It's been deep and dark. And if I have to take inventory right now, if I'm asked the question, has it paid off? Do you have anything to show for it? Do you have any food? Have you caught anything? I'd have to answer no. And so you're in the perfect position to hear the next word the Lord would have to say. And it would be an instruction, but it will require that you pivot. Now, pivot is like this. Actually, in basketball, to pivot, you can leave one foot on the floor. Just pivot. Sometimes life-changing differences come. You don't have to pick 2 feet up, just one. Just pivot. It's easier than you think. You don't have to scale Mount Everest, to start a new season. Sometimes you just pivot. You just pick one foot up and slightly adjust the direction. Oh, that's the wrong side. This is the right side. Oh, my. Now, how immediate was the payload from that obedience? Sometimes faith is that way. But some of you need to pivot today before you leave. Some of you need to reach a place and be aware of it. I've been so long, and I ain't been working. But, I believe the Lord's saying pivot. I believe the Lord's saying do it this way now. I'm believing God's going to give a specific instruction, and the pivot is the moment of action when you follow an instruction. Now, for those of you, it's how important the Word of God is. They heard the Lord speak, and even though they were not aware, it was the Lord just yet, they obeyed the word they heard that came from the Lord. Now, some of you need more than just a word. Your faith is not there. And, you know, we're all growing in our faith. Some of you need a sign. And that's okay. Even though Jesus said, a wicked generation searches for signs. And in the charismatic movement in recent years, we did go to the extreme. I mean, we would chase after signs and wonders. We'd drive 300 miles to attend a service because whoever the speaker was famous for signs and wonders. And we would follow after signs. And what Jesus said, don't do that. Jesus said, signs and wonders will follow after you. So, but some of you still need a sign, and I have one for you. It actually took place yesterday. I was on West Palmetto Street and Dollar General, one of my favorite places to shop. And I mean, my God, most everything, and there's a dollar. And the lines are short, and they move quickly, and it's all so highly organized. Jim Smith is one of the executives of that company, and he's a blessing to us. Dollar General has given us so much food to give hungry people and candy to give kids, and so thank you, Jim, and God bless Dollar General. So right in front of Dollar General on West Palmetto Street, there's an empty lot on a corner, and it always has some religious signs. Whoever owns that lot loves the Lord and puts up some signs. Some of them I wouldn't want on our marquee. Some of them are just in your face, shocking, and I think maybe, you know, are meant for somebody other than me, maybe. But now this one I saw yesterday. So if you're here today and you need a sign that when you hear a word from God, it's very important that you trust it and act on it immediately, that you pivot from wherever you were and focus on the word you've heard, here's your sign. It's a sign I saw that said, it's what God says that counts. There it is right there. Yard cluttered with signs, all of them about the Lord. All of them. But when I saw that one, it's what God says that counts. I had to go over and take a picture of that and share it with you. There's your sign. If you need a sign to upgrade the value you place on hearing from God and to upgrade the importance of immediately following the instruction God gives you, then there's your sign right there. It's what God says that counts. They had heard the word of the Lord, and they were not able to draw in the blessings. Now, you've heard the expression, turn on a dime. That's not always good. But I'm saying, pivot on the word. Pivot on the word. That's how important. If you haven't had a fresh word from God lately, lock yourself up until you get one. And it's all fresh. There's life on every word. But God has something to say that can change your life, regardless of what's going on in your circumstances. God has something to say that's worth listening to. And if it's worth hearing, it's worth pivoting and acting on it. You know, a lot of people hear the word from God and their faith rises, but they never use their faith. It's like a miser, which does not work with faith. A miser, you've heard about it. I'm hoping one of my uncles is one. Filthy rich and yet never spends a dime, just lets it add up in the bank, and one day he's going to die and leave it to me. I don't know what uncle that could be. Well, maybe I may have one. But it doesn't work with faith that way. A lot of people hear the word, and their faith increases because they hear it. But there's a disconnect between hearing the word and then taking action on it. That's where faith is an action. Faith is an action. A lot of people, a lot of us probably have so much more faith in our account than we've got money in the bank, and yet we're not using the faith we have. There's a disconnect there. Why? We've never pivoted. We just kept on. Well, I like the way that sounded. Just keep plowing on, just like we have. Over and over the question comes is, what you're doing working for? Well, no, but I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep at it. Well, but there's a fresh word. It'll require you take a different action. it'll require that you pivot. You can just pick 1 foot up. I mean, just 1 foot up and turn a little bit. Just and here's what amazes me. Now, sometimes to pivot means repent. Some of you may need to do that today. Some of you, if you're not walking with the Lord at all, then you need to pivot with repentance. That's what the word repent means. It means to change directions. So sometimes to pivot means to repent and turn toward God in a perfect way. Other times, though, to pivot is as simple as acting on an instruction like it was here. Cast your net on the other side and you'll catch some fish there. So their instant obedience resulted in an immediate payload. I love that about this story. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's not that way all the time. But this story is. There are enough stories in Scripture that give me hope that once in a while, God's going to deliver me quickly. He's going to show up on time, according to my calendar, once in a while. So now let me tell you the two ways it works. First of all, sometimes faith is like a seed. We talked about that last week. Like a seed, it's such a little thing. You can barely see it, like a one grain of a mustard seed, the smallest seed of all seeds. You can barely see it if you got it right there in your hand. One seed. It's such a small thing. And that's the way faith is. Sometimes you'll take that small seed and plant it. And the Bible says the seed doesn't remain small, but it groweth up and becomes greater. Faith is that way sometimes. I've had it happen to me. That's the way it works for me and for you. A lot of the time is we just wait on God to come through. We know He will. That's our faith working. It was a little thing when it started, but it's bigger now. Oh, I'm really sure He will. He hadn't yet, but He will. And that seed grows. That's the way our faith is. The more you hear the word, the more faith you have, the more ability do you have to trust God if we use our faith as we should. And then, you know, I remember there have been times I've been waiting on God for something, and even though I barely noticed it at first, it was just like I'm believing God, I would say. I'm believing God. Well, but before it's over and before the need was met, my faith had grown like that seed grows bigger. It takes a while. You have to wait sometimes on the Lord. Wait, again I say wait, on the Lord. You ever waited on Him? You've had to wait on Him sometime. But then sometimes my faith would grow about that particular thing till all of a sudden I realize, you know, I don't have it yet, but it's as good as in my hand. I know it. What is that? That's that small faith in the beginning that's been fed and nurtured, and it has grown. It's grown up and become bigger now. That's the kingdom of God. That's how it works. So that little seed, that small amount of faith I did have at one time about this, I've just trusted God regardless. It hadn't come to pass yet, but it's on the way. I'm taking Him at His word. I'm going to trust Him on it. I'm not going to bail on Him. I'm going to hang in there with God. I'm going to believe for it. And as the journey goes, that seed gets bigger. One time it happened. I've told you about this before. I had prayed for 2 months. Oh, God, please move a mountain. Please open a door. Dear God, have mercy. And I've told you about it. We had announced we were moving to Latvia for a year, and we had it all figured out, and the rug was jerked out from under us. We were in a mess, and I was, oh, God. And for 2 months, that seed was small in me. Lord, I believe I've heard from You, and I'm willing, and I'm wanting to obey You, but, Lord, there's no way I can get from here to there with all this going on. Oh, God. Well, I just kept believing God. I didn't get up and announce, you know, I've changed my mind. I decided no. Didn't do that. And we had 4 months to get our ducks in a row to leave for a year, and we were halfway through that 4 months. 2 months. And I had carried that thing. I had carried it. And Brenda's dad, by the way, is the one who pulled this out of me. And he called me on the phone one day and said, "Now, son, I know you have told the whole church that you and John are going to move to Russia in January, but I just wanted to call and ask my son today, would you be willing to change your mind and not go, since the problems have come up that have come up and you've got to deal with so much?" That little seed I'd been feeding for 2 months. And was I afraid? Sometimes. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Can we be real?
Yeah.
2 months. Everything in the natural said, you're going to have to get up and tell church people you just missed it. There ain't no way you can go over there. I mean, this is just, you're going to have to do something different. And Brenda's dad called me 2 months after I had carried that seed and watered it. And it was growing, and I didn't realize it was growing until he said, "Would you be willing to change your mind?" And out of my mouth, I heard myself, "Oh, no, sir. We're leaving on January the 19th at 11:50 from JFK Airport. We're not going to be one day late. We're not even going to be one flight later. That's when our ticket is, and that's when we're going, and we'll be gone for a year." And when I said it, I realized I am telling the truth. I knew it right then. Now, sometimes you don't realize how much faith really is working for you because you're not speaking out loud a word of faith. But he put me in a position to where I guess he probably thought I would have to say, "Well, there's no way we can go. I mean, we've been praying for a miracle and it hadn't happened, so I might as well just, you know, throw in the towel and forget all about that." Maybe he wanted me to say that. I know he didn't want John to leave. He didn't want his two granddaughters to leave. I understand that. He was a grandfather. But when I was asked that question, faith rose up inside of me. I didn't know I had it working at that level until I opened my mouth and I spoke. And I heard my own self say it. And I was proud of myself when I heard myself. I mean, God works with everybody a little differently and probably has to work overtime on me more than with you. It takes him a while to get through. But when I said, "Oh, no, we're not changing our mind. We're not going to be a day late even, not even the next. Come January the 19th at 11:50, we're airborne on the way to Russia for a year." And when I said it, I knew it was the truth. And what had happened is, that seed, sometimes faith works like that. You barely got enough faith working to believe it. But okay, I'm going to stick that seed in the ground anyway, and I'm going to water that seed, and I'm going to hear the word and increase my faith that comes by hearing the word. And then as you keep going on that journey, at some point you'll realize that seed has grown significantly. It was a small thing. It's not so small anymore. In fact, this seed has convinced me, because now faith is. And sometimes it takes a while for God to meet your need. And faith is important every moment that you're waiting. But then at other times, and this is the good news for somebody who's so desperate today, sometimes you can hear the word of God and pivot immediately. And now the miracle is there. That was exactly those five words. "So they cast, and now." When did the miracle happen? Now. When did the net get full of fish? Now. "So they cast, and now." Read it in verse 6. "So they cast, and now." That's how quick it was. Now. Well, how long did it take for that net to get full of fish? Well, it was pretty quick because they cast, and now it was. I mean, I love it. "So they cast, and now." They were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Sometimes God will give you the miracle or the blessing you need as soon as you believe and pivot. As soon as you hear a word and follow the instruction that comes with it. Now, sometimes one single act brings an immediate blessing. One single act brings an immediate blessing. So faith can work both ways. Faith can take a while, or faith can bring an immediate result from one single act of obedience. And either way, though, faith worketh. Each act of obedience shortens the distance to the blessing you need. Every time you obey God, the blessing you're waiting for gets closer to you. I believe, conversely, it's also true that every disobedient act would further delay the blessing you need, would perhaps tie the hand of God and delay him from coming through for you. So each act of obedience to God's word is so very important. Like the lepers, Jesus told one leper, Lord, please heal me. I know you can. I've got leprosy. Please heal me. And he said, well, go do something. He did. It was healed. One time, 10 lepers came to Jesus, all 10. And he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. They pivoted. They pivoted. Here they were talking to the Lord. He told them to do something. Go show yourself to the priest. So they headed to the temple where the priest was. And the Bible says they didn't even have to get to the temple to be healed. The Bible says as they went, as they honored the word they heard, they got their healing as they went. Then, of course, you know, one of the disciples had to pay his taxes. Jesus said, mine's due too. It's April 15th. And, well, where are we going to get the money? And Jesus gave them an instruction. Go fish. And the first fish you catch, open his mouth. I've heard preachers have so much fun with that. Like, well, just the first one had one coin in it enough. What about maybe every fish he caught had a coin in his mouth? Oh, our God is rich above measure. But in this story here, I like it because all of us can relate and all of us need our hope raised to the level that, Lord, I'm in such desperate shape sometimes that I need the kind of faith to work for me that I can obey you and now the blessing is here. I can pivot and obey your word and now already my need is met. Now, here's the beauty of this story. The fish were under the boat the whole time. The fish were right there under the boat the whole time. And your blessing is probably right under you. Right under you. In the frustration of the night, the fish should have left. But God will put your blessing on hold until you get it together. And here's the beauty, and somebody needs this morning. Here's the beauty of this story. When God comes through immediately for you, and some of his greatest blessings are instant, immediate, like salvation. Nobody has ever, no sinner has ever come to God and cried out to be saved, Lord, save me. That the Lord would say, I ain't going to save you now in that mess you're in. You get up from here and you go do a half a dozen things to get yourself better and then I might think about saving you. No, some of God's greatest blessings like salvation are immediate. And so was this miracle. The payload was immediate upon the pivot. As soon as they obeyed the word, their net was full. No penance, no waiting. Jesus didn't put them on probation and say, well, you know, here's the miracle. Let me taunt you with it. See it? I got it right here. I'm not giving it to you yet until you pass a probationary period. I'm going to make sure you're serious this time. Nope, you can't have it yet. You're going to have to prove. No, in this miracle, these boys didn't even have time to prove themselves. No time. It was instant. Like pivot and oh, the net. Oh, help me get this fish into the shore over there. I can't do it by myself. So here's the mindset of many people, and the enemy uses this. Somebody needs to hear this. The mindset that you go to God and say, I need you to do this for me, but it's huge and I know it, and I know you're probably not ready. You're not going to do it easy for me. I know, and I deserve it. And so I'm going to keep making myself better until I deserve you. No. Mm-mm. Hello. That don't work with him. That's a joke to him. So if you have a mindset that I can't even really honestly go to God with the mess I'm in, what I got going on in my life right now, oh, he knows. The problem is he knows, and I can't go to him and honestly ask for any help right now again. But I will go close enough to say this. Hey, Lord, I'm going to keep making myself better until I deserve you. Oh, please, throw that out and don't ever revisit that. That's not in our faith economy. God doesn't accept that. He doesn't play by those rules. And Jesus said, and here's the end of the story, and how beautiful. After a long night, a long, dark, deep night of no reward for your labor. It had seemed like forever, I'm sure. They get the miracle they need, and they hear Jesus say, breakfast is served. Now, after your long night is over, and for some of you, it is right now. Good morning. It's a morning now. The night is ended for you. You've been through it. You've worn yourself out and not got a lot to show for it. What you've been doing hadn't worked for you, but hello, good morning. Jesus has met your need. And he's saying, come and eat breakfast. Jesus is saying, your night is over. Good morning. Breakfast is served. Because what they couldn't do all night, God turned around in the morning. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Bow your heads, please. I'd like for the prayer team to come, if they would. We're getting ready to offer prayer for you with needs. Some of you need to come. It will be your pivot today. Some of you need to do something today. You need to take some action this morning that you'll be able to remember and remind the devil, oh, no, devil, oh, no, you're not lying to me again. Not that same old lie, because I remember the day I pivoted and I turned my heart more perfectly toward God. Bow your heads if you would. Let me just ask a question. If you're here.